trying to see if you're awake out there. I know it's a nice, mellow, peaceful God during the worship. Now he's going to be a God of fire as I preach, okay? And I mean that. I mean, God changes his nature through a different through different services. It's like he's known as four different faces in two different times, once in Ezekiel and once in Revelation. See, we get to wanting to be God, to be a sweet sheep all the time, you know, as he's that picture at times. And then he's, all of a sudden, he's a lion. And when he changes from a sheep to a lion, that prophetic season changes. And just some of the things I want you to know, you may be a guest here today, and we have several guests here. And I want you to know, you may not be used to this kind of service yet, but I believe it's what the world's been missing, is a revelatory church. Come on, I like me some Pentecostal, shout me down. I mean, revelatory being prophetic. You were created to be the prophetic vessel for the Lord. What I mean by revelatory and prophecy, last week we had Marilyn Sampson in. For those that were here, she, if you only knew how much, and for those who knew a lot of the people that she prophesied over, I mean, she basically prophesied their spiritual address. I mean, nailing Gwen back there about teacher and prayer, nailing the Yeries here, and nailing many, many other things. But you see, she's no superstar. God has ordained it, and she's an incredible woman of God. Please hear what I'm saying. Are you cold, bro? You need to go turn it down? You looking at the air conditioner? Do you need help there, brother? His wife, she help him there, Leslie. When you're a small church also, you can really notice how everybody's countenance and face is looking. You can tell Phillip's over there just getting a little cold there. But God ordained us to be revelatory. When he poured out his spirit upon the church in Acts 2, he said that we would all prophesy, that we would be revelatory people. The church has not been revelatory in a lot of ways to society. If you've heard any of Lance Wallnau's teaching on the seven spheres of a society, the seven mountains of influence, it's medicine, it's Hollywood, and it's all those other different things. I should have had those seven, but it's just kind of coming right now of talking about that. We haven't been revelatory in those areas of school, of family. Family is one of them. We've just continued to let the family unit just kind of fall apart. And we've been called to be a revelatory people. Revelatory, those people that hear the things of God every day, not just on a Sunday morning. See, God wants to use you and I when we go to the restaurants or we go to the grocery store here after this service. This is not just to get you pumped up, feeling good. We come back together for our midweek service on Tuesday, and then you come back on Sunday. No, this is to equip you, to activate you, and that's what the prophetic does. The prophetic does is what Jesus does with the woman at the well, John 4. She is beat down with what life has been married five times, and she's living with a dude, and Jesus shows up being revelatory. All of a sudden starts prophesying where her spiritual address is at the time, which is shame. She's beat down with shame because she has been five failed marriages and living with a dude. And all of a sudden Jesus starts talking to her spiritual address to call her up out of shame into being a woman, her spiritual address of joy. And all of a sudden what is activated is a woman who will now become a great evangelist. See, the prophetic activates. The church has been called, it says in Ephesians 4, that we've been called to be apostles and prophets, lay the foundations of the church. We have been so trained to allow the teachers and pastors to do many, many things, and they're needed. But we need apostles and prophets that will say, this is the way ye go in it, and go in it. Because again, it lays the foundations. The reason we're doing all this work and we're praying on different things, we want deep pillars of what God's getting ready to do. Last week, some of you got prophetic words from Maryland. Can I tell you, we all did if you're part of this body. But what are you going to do with those prophetic words? Did you pray this week about what she said about increase? See, increase comes. You see, God is not Santa Claus. See, God gives us prophetic words, but we're called to pray them into an existence. What in the world? we're called to pray and to existence. Elijah had a word that it was supposed to rain after the fire, after the confrontation with Baal. But you see, the American church, and I'm talking about myself too, we treat God like he's Santa Claus. Well, I went down, I got my wish list last week with Marilyn. But what am I going to pray to see it come about? Elijah had his word from the Lord, but he went and prayed 7 times. And again, the American church, stick with me. You really got to stick with me today, gang. We are so consumed with spiritual ADD of distractions. The church has become like the culture of the earth instead of the church changing the culture of the earth out there. Many, many of our church services have to be constructed around 30 minutes because you and I have been wired by a TV set of our attention span is only 30 minutes long. Our church services are now 1.5 hours because a movie in our movie theaters can only be an hour and a half long. And so we're wired by the culture of the earth. Come on. At least one person believes that. And are we going to change the culture of the earth, or is the culture of the earth going to keep changing the church? We've been told not to be conformed to the world. We're so much conformed like the world, it's unbelievable. It is time to get the prophetic words that change Carrollton, Farmers Branch, your workplace, your family. And that only comes through intimacy with him. It is time that we take those prophetic words last week, because they were so accurate on the individuals and couples. I believe everything she prophesied over the church is 100% accurate. And are we going to go to the churches used to have altars that you'd come to and lay on and pray on, and that old Pentecostal saying that we're not going to let go of the altars until God, you give it to me. Well, we've cleaned up church and we've removed the altars. Well, in a lot of ways, we've allowed the enemy to remove the altars of prayer from our own hearts. You see, I can put altars up here and it may not make a change, but where is your altar at your heart? Is your heart of a place of prayer? Talking about revelatory, because I want to talk about the real revelatory, the prophetic, as it says in Acts 2, 17 through 21. You can turn there, whatever. I'm going to really go back and forth on different things, because we're either being entertained by the world or we're encountering him. And the only way we're going to change the culture of the earth is if we encounter him. Amen? In John 6:21, again, I'm going to jump all over the Bible so you don't really have to turn to anything. It talks about, let's cross to the other side. And it's when Jesus is walking on the water and the disciples have tried to get there, and there's this fierce storm that's going on in John 6:21. Fierce storm. And all of a sudden, here comes Jesus walking on the water, because he had been removed for a few hours spending time with God. And so, man, here he comes. He sees the disciples a ways off, you know. We don't know how far they've totally gone across the sea. They're just a little bit out there. Fierce storm. And here he comes walking on water, scares them to death. And it says he had walked on by them, but they see him and they cry out. And it says that when he got in the boat, they immediately went to the other side. Well, when I was praying over that particular scripture, when I read it that week, earlier in the year, the Lord just said it's time for divine acceleration. And I really believe this church and many of your lives are in divine acceleration. And the more that we allow Jesus to have controls of our life, we will see divine acceleration. It doesn't mean that there won't be storms, because there was a storm that night going on. But when Jesus gets in the boat, it's amazing the grace and peace that's released to go to the other side in the midst of the storm. See, we have started backing down because there's storms. And I'm all for, I want change in November to get us righteous leaders. What we really need is Christians start to carry the government of God. And it's time that we become revelatory to a society that is deteriorating and dying. Amen? So while I was in Cambodia, and that's what had a lot to do with just causing C and I to leave 16 and a half years of being at Sojourn Church. Great church. We were blessed there. But while I was in Cambodia, God just started speaking to a whole nother level of where he was wanting us to go. And on March the 3rd, I was in a hotel in Cambodia. And God spoke to me that there was this real testing coming to the American church in a way, parts of the church, and in my life. And God started speaking to me that there would be 90 days of intense encountering of him, if you will. And he says, I will perform this word, and I'll show you a sign in the natural. And it says in Acts 2 that I'll perform signs in the heavens and the earth. When God gives you a big transforming word that's going to be very challenging, he will perform a natural in the heavenly sometimes. It's happened to me a couple of times before the Lord's given me this big word. And the Lord said this to me. He says, I will show you a sign in the heavenlies on the natural day of the first day of spring of this year. He says, the day before spring, it'll be such and such weather, and the next day I'll make it radically change. Well, if you go back and look at it this year, the day before the first day, official calendar day of spring, it was 72. The next day, it became cold, it became windy, it became rainy, and there were 7 inches of snow on the first day of spring. First the natural, then the spiritual, as it says. God is wanting to get the American church's attention if we'll listen to him. We need good, solid doctrinal teachings, but we need a people that want to make a difference out there and not just be trained intellectually in our services on Sunday morning. Amen? So, what I want to offer up to you is the counterfeit that is stealing the prophetic in the American church. Because you see, God hasn't changed. That promise is still for you and I today to be revelatory. I look at Jennifer Willard. I believe she's stepping out and being revelatory. She's even going to share on October the 16th because God gives her a down at our outreach at La Sombra, because God gives her a download about what he wants to do at that deal, and she's sharing on the 16th. We need to be revelatory people in hearing what God's doing. God, well, let's turn, before we turn to Revelations, let's turn to Acts 2 real quick. I do want to read that. And he may have it on there. This is, they've made a decision of the Word of God, and this is what our theme has been, Acts 1:22, to be his witness of his resurrection. We're to do it with power. But now they're waiting on the Holy Spirit to come. They've waited in the upper room for 10 days now, Acts 2:17. And it shall come to pass in the last day, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the Lord, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. They come out of the upper room declaring the goodness and greatness of God, and they're saturated on the outside, but mainly on the inside, with a creative, living God, that they could literally speak his heart, they could speak his thoughts. Marilyn touched on it last week. In Isaiah 55, it says that you cannot know the thoughts or ways of God. Can I tell you, we live in a better covenant that you can know the thoughts of God. First Corinthians 2 says this. He says, I give my heart's desire. I should reveal my heart to those who want to know it, the deep things of me. God wants to reveal his thoughts and his ways to each and every one of us. You know that coworker you're having a hard time with? God wants to reveal what the issue is of that person's heart and reveal it to you. But you see, we stay mad at coworkers, or we don't want to be around them, or we don't want to be around family members, and I've been there. And God wants to go, no, you really don't know the hurt in their life. You see, how many people probably judged the woman at the well? Seeing her walk through the village streets, shame all over her, maybe judging her because they knew a little bit about her story. But there was some DNA of heaven that had been put in her since she was in her mother's womb. Did you know that everybody who's ever created has had some of the DNA of God put in their heart? Every person. Every person. And he's looking for people like you and I that can see the gold dust of heaven in their hearts. And Jesus walked by that day, and he skipped all the chapters of a failed life, and he prophesied to the gold of the DNA of the woman at the well. You see, people are wanting shame to fall off their life. They're just tired of the American church and you and I of judging them. They're looking for some sons and daughters of the King that can look and find the gold. There's treasure within every earthen vessel, as it says in Corinthians. Are we asking God to give us revelatory eyes to see the gifting? Are we asking God to give us revelatory ears to hear what he's saying and to go prophesy to dry bones? You see, we're buying TV sets that'll show all the 3D, and we got the glasses on. You know, they come out with the new TV set about 3D. We're going and we're paying movies to go see a 3D movie and put the glasses on to see all wild and crazy stuff. And please hear me, that's okay. If you'd rather, I'd rather you give the money to Hope Fellowship than pay, spend it on $2,000 or $3,000. We still got some repairs to do here. But can you imagine? I believe we're settling for what I'm going to get to, the spirit of the world. When we serve a God that is so crazy 3D, it's unbelievable. He's the God that Ezekiel said he saw a wheel fall out of heaven and was spinning and had all kinds of different crazy stuff going on. You read Revelations, it's crazier than any 3D movie you'd ever see. I mean, all of a sudden, John's taken into the Spirit, and all of a sudden, he's seeing this man, well, that has eyes like flames of fire. He's hearing a sound of many waters. Now, you think of what he doesn't even have a language to put to everything he's seeing just in a few first chapters. That when he sees Jesus, he's going, oh my gosh, there's like a man that's got this hair like wool, and man, he's got eyes like flames of fire. Man, when he's, and my goodness, what are those feet? It's like brass feet, and it's like it's been refined in the most holiest of fire. And we go and we get entertained by Hollywood. And we're wondering why we've lost our prophetic revelatory voice. Okay, now turn to Revelations 2. Because we get a chance to trade up. Thought that was Philip crying for a moment. Thought maybe it's too cold for you, brother. Revelations 2. This is one of the indictments against what's called, if you have a little subtitle there, the corrupt church. And verse 220, Jesus, well, let's start at 18, because God always, it's what's cool about the Lord. He speaks the good, but he also calls out the stuff he wants changed in our lives. And the angel of the church in Thyatira write these things, says the Son of God, who has eyes like flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, your love, your service, your faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit sexual immorality, and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. And it goes on, and we'll do verse 23. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts. I will give to each one of you according to your works. There's this spirit that's on this nation, and it's the spirit of Jezebel, if you will. This is a story that's 3,000 years later. There's a story in 1 Kings where Elijah, the great prophet, the true thing, the true revelatory gift, comes to confront the counterfeit, and that was Jezebel. She's a spirit that at that time was in, it was actually her name, Jezebel, but she manipulated, she controlled, she allowed sexual immorality, she introduced it to the church, if you will, of Old Testament time, Israel, and offered all of this horrible stuff. And in one of the Bibles, the interpretation says, this I have against you, you tolerate Jezebel. How many of us are tolerating Jezebel and we've lost that? See, what John experienced in Revelation, that sound of many waters, that authority should be on mine and your prayers. When the church in the book of Acts got first baptized with the true, authentic, prophetic, revelatory gift, when they prayed, buildings shook. When they prayed, nations were changed. When they went and proclaimed the kingdom of God, riots would happen, like in Acts 17 and 19. Now we get yawns in church, and I'm not talking about any of y'all out there that might have yawned. I've yawned in some of my services too, you know, when I've preached. But one of the things that I believe God wants to bring back to the American church is a true apostolic government that are mothers and fathers and that want to see the kingdom of God come to the face of the earth at all cost. But the problem is, we get to decide, are we going to go for the true message that changes nations, that does cost you something? You see, we've made it so easy for people to walk with the Lord. No, well, God will forgive you. Well, yeah, He will. But all we do is keep repeating the same sin over and over. We keep giving our hearts to Jezebel, if you will. We want to be enticed by God on a Sunday morning, but then we'll be enticed by a spirit that's on a TV show. Or we'll be enticed by a filthy movie. Now, please hear me. I watched Gladiator last night. I like movies. I like TVs. But when I'm looking for entertainment over an encounter with God, I've given my heart to this spirit that's plaguing this nation. I'm sick and tired of hearing pastors and Christian leaders fall to sexual immorality. It's a fruit that's given into this very spirit of a spirit of Jezebel. Just again, the subtitle to my book, I mean, my Bible, was A Corrupt Church. We're a corrupt nation, and I don't believe it's being because of President Obama or what you may think of Washington, D.C. Sin or judgment comes to a nation because of the way the Christians are acting in a nation. We reap what we sow. We see that we don't want to deal with the issues of our heart because we just know that truly God's getting upset with this nation because of the way sinners are acting. No, God's losing patience with this nation. Does He still love it? You bet. But He's losing patience with it because of where the Christians are living our lives. The divorce rate in the Christians is as high as in the lost.